Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Today on Advanced, we find out whether hospital rooms help or hurt. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Naomi, and I'm excited that you're joining us for a brand new article. Today is May 23rd, and we're starting our health article. It's a really interesting one, so turn with me to page 36. While you're finding your spot, let me introduce who else is in the room. First of all, we have Josh. Welcome.
Hi, Naomi.
We're talking about hospitals today.
Yes, not sometimes the most pleasant topic, but we're going to talk about some new positive developments.
Have you ever had to stay in a hospital?
No, but I've been with my wife for two times. She gave birth to our children, and then my son broke his arm earlier this year, and we had a one-night hospital stay.
It's a little bit stressful, isn't it?
It is, but I think it's a lot of it just depends on the type of people that are there helping you. And certainly how long you have to stay in a hospital.
Right. And hospitals, I think, you know, they really are important places, of course. We need to have hospitals. But unfortunately, they can also sometimes hurt people a little bit because of infections.
That's right. I think we it's an area I think we have a picture in our mind of maybe, you know, lots of people crowded in an emergency room or sharing rooms with multiple people. And, you know, people aren't necessarily careful about the germs that are spread. So it's nice to hear from this article that we're going to talk today that some things are being done to change that.
Yeah, some very interesting things, some new innovations and new plans. When I first read this article, I got very excited. I thought, this is a really great idea to try to adjust the hospital to be the best it can be. And it's great to see that resources are being poured into this part of healthcare.
That's right.
Well, I'm really excited that we also have with us a couple of professionals to help us learn today. First of all, we have Rose. Welcome, Rose.
Thank you.
Now, you are a nursing student.
I am. I am a senior nursing student. In a couple months, I'll be graduated and become a registered nurse.
Okay. Now, you are from the United States.
I am. I'm from a very small town in northern Washington, Arlington, Washington.
Okay. And what is your specialty going to be when you graduate?
I want to go into pediatrics with a focus on cardiology. I just love working with kids, and the heart fascinates me.
So have you had a chance to work with some kids in the hospital?
I have. Part of the nursing school rotation is that we're able to do a pediatric rotation. And so I was able to work on a surgical unit and work with, you know, kids ranging from little babies to teenagers.
Okay. So when a kid comes into the hospital, how do they usually feel being there?
A lot of them are very scared and shy that it's this big building full of unknowns and so many strangers, and many kids are taught not to talk to strangers. So,
right.
Yeah, completely new environment for them.
Yeah. Did you find that with your son, Josh?
I did. Yeah. He was in a state of shock at first, but once he warmed up to the environment, I think it was certainly very different from anything he's experienced before. And the Asian hospitals were a lot different than Western hospitals.
Well, sure. Rose, do you feel like it's part of your job then to sort of make these kids feel comfortable?
Yes, definitely. And I think a lot of kids do warm up to it, that they start getting used to having different nurses and having different doctors. And I think the nurses try and, you know, get them excited, give them stickers and stuffed animals and, you know, try and give them the attention that they love and that they seek. So.
Right. Okay. So trying to make it really comfortable for them, someplace where they feel relaxed.
Yes.
Okay. Also joining us is another nursing student, Sarah.
Hi. How are you?
Very well. Thanks. Now, where are you from?
I'm actually from a little town in Alaska called Sitka, but I go to school in Kirkland, Washington.
Okay. And what's your specialty?
I also like cardiology. I'm more into the adult aspect of it, though.
Okay. Now, are adults scared when they go to a hospital?
Oh, I'm sure they are. I would be. But it's definitely a little different than children. A lot of the people who come in with heart problems have been to the hospital a few more times.
Okay.
So they kind of know what to expect a little bit more, but they are still slightly nervous.
Sure. When we were talking earlier, you used the word apprehensive, mm-hmm. and I think that's a good one. When we say someone is apprehensive, we mean they're nervous. They don't really know what to expect. They're kind of shy of this different situation.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you deal with that?
We try to make them comfortable, and we do a lot of explaining and teaching so that they know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
So when they know what to expect, they can kind of relax a little bit.
Okay, excellent. Well, I'm glad that you're both here. Now, most people, when they do enter a hospital, I think we can agree, are not so sure about the whole thing. Mm-hmm. They're not usually looking forward to a stay at the hospital. But our article gives us the impression that that may change. So let's begin with our first reading for today.
Spaces that heal. The latest medical breakthrough is the hospital room itself. Someday, not too long from now, when you're away from home, you might have the chance to stay in a room unlike any you've ever seen. You'll have unprecedented privacy with your bathroom restocked from the hallway. Your bedside remote will let you pull up the shades or flip on the AC. And the TV will fill an entire wall. It could be a swank hotel, but it's the hospital room of the future.
Now, the title of this article for today on page 36 is Spaces That Heal. Now, I feel like maybe that's taking some of the credit away from the staff at a hospital, because of course it's not the space that heals, it's the doctors and nurses. Would you agree?
Yeah. The nurses definitely do a lot of the work, and the doctors do, but having an environment that's healing is incredibly important, and there's lots of research that shows that.
Okay, so what does that mean when you think about an environment that helps instead of hurts?
I work at a hospital that they're starting to work with a culture of quiet. So the environment is kept very, very quiet, and the lighting is very natural, and they play actually natural music, and it kind of keeps people calm, and it helps with healing.
Wow, sounds nice, actually.
So that's getting away from the older hospitals that were very noisy?
Yes, the older hospitals were, the nurses' station, the nurses would be in the middle talking and laughing, and there would be family members in the hallways that were loud, and now they're trying to really keep that to a minimum.
Nice. Okay, good example. So we'll talk some more about what that really means, but in our subtitle today it says, the latest medical breakthrough is the hospital room itself. Now, Rose, when we talk about a medical breakthrough, what usually comes to mind?
When you think of a medical breakthrough, I think a lot of people come, oh, you have a cure for something, mm-hmm. or, you know, a cure to cancer, or a cure to a prominent disease, you know, a disease that's very common. And so for the latest medical breakthrough is a hospital room itself, I think a lot of people will think, what? How does that help?
Right.
Right. Is it a room that shoots medicine at you from across the room and zaps you with healing powers?
Exactly. But that's not what we're talking about at all. How do we begin, Josh?
Well, we're talking about looking into the future there. Under the heading 23, it says, someday not too long from now, when you're away from home, you might have a chance to stay in a room unlike you've ever seen. So we're saying someday in the future, you might stay in almost a futuristic room. Mm-hmm. And in line 4 and 5, we begin to describe it a bit. You'll have unprecedented privacy with your bathroom restocked from the hallway.
Okay, nice. First of all, someday not too long from now implies that it is futuristic, but not very futuristic. Gives us the idea that this could be within the next couple of years. And so the first attribute we see here, the first characteristic of this room, is the unprecedented privacy. What does unprecedented mean?
Well, it means it's never happened before. If something is precedented, it means it comes before you. So this has never happened before. It's unprecedented. And privacy, I think, is an issue in older hospitals, right, where rooms are more open and there's, like you said, family members and other patients perhaps in that room with you, and you don't feel like you're in a quiet, private environment.
Rose is smiling. Do you agree with that?
I do agree with that. A lot of privacy is not happening in the hospitals, and I think they're trying to go to that. You have to share a room, and there's doctors and nurses coming in and out, and, you know, people, your cleaners, and a lot of people that the patient doesn't know.
Right.
And so going for that privacy is huge.
Mm-hmm.
also with privacy, you get more rest, and right. we all know that rest promotes healing. So
that's a good point. And even to not be interrupted for the person restocking your bathroom, that just means giving you the supplies you need and entering in to clean things up, things like that. That would be really helpful. As we continue, we see that you'll have a bedside remote. And what will that let you do, Sarah?
Well, the bedside remote lets you do pretty much anything. you can watch TV with it. You can call the nurse with it. You can listen to music with it. It's
yeah.
pretty amazing.
And I love that it even controls the shades and the air conditioning. I think that's fantastic. It sounds like luxury to me, not like a hotel or like a hospital room. Mm-hmm. In fact, it doesn't even sound like a hotel room.
Right.
It sounds better than any hotel I've ever stayed in. And the TV filling an entire wall?
That sounds really cool. So that would be a big flat screen that would fill the wall and not just bring you entertainment, but as we're going to find out, could also bring you important information.
Right. So we end with our first reading with, it could be a swank hotel. Now, when we call something swank, what do we mean by that?
Swank means that it's expensive and it's fashionable and it's very nice.
Right. So we sometimes talk about things being swanky,
mm-hmm.
This idea that you walk into a restaurant, everyone's dressed up, everything's fancy, you know, and the idea of a hospital room being like this, it doesn't really go together.
No, I don't think I've ever heard of a hospital being called swanky. I imagine, right, wearing a tuxedo and you walk in the place instead of a hospital gown.
Designer gowns.
Right. But that's what we're talking about here, that innovation around the space itself is what this article is about mm-hmm. and how that is contributing to patient care.
Right. So let's find out how they're changing these hospital rooms into the future model in our next reading.
Time for an upgrade. Hospitals need to change, and they're turning to architects for help. In part, the impetus for new-look hospitals is bureaucratic. Medicare and private insurers are moving away from the fee-for-service model, in which they pay for each procedure and Tylenol tablet, to flat fee payments for entire episodes of care, a knee replacement, say, or an arterial bypass operation. So rooms are less of a profit center. Medicare has also begun paying bonuses to hospitals that provide effective, high-quality treatment, while penalizing those that don't meet basic standards or have high rates of avoidable readmissions. Private insurers are beginning to follow suit.
Okay, so it's time for an upgrade. And usually when I think of an upgrade, I think of technology.
Right, or airline travel.
Oh, that's true. I wish.
When you're upgrading, you're moving something from the way it's done currently to something new and better.
Right, so hospitals do need to change, and they're turning to architects for help, or they're looking to them, they're asking them for advice. Now, the next sentence is a little bit of a challenging one. We say, impart the impetus for this. And what's an impetus?
Well, it's just the driver behind something, the reason you do something. And I think of you studying English with us today. What is the impetus for you mm-hmm. studying? Is it
yeah.
for career? Is it to travel? It's a good word that you could use today when ask yourself, what is my impetus for studying English? And in this case, the impetus for improving the hospital rooms is bureaucratic.
Okay, so the sort of motivation here has a lot to do with bureaucracy, and that just means that it's involved with officials and maybe paperwork and the way things are kind of all organized, and it often to me just sounds like a pain in the neck, actually.
That's right. All okay. the hoops and things you have to go through in medicine. Would you say there's a lot of that, Sarah?
It's amazing how much there is, actually. The nurses have to do hours of charting. You have to go through doctors to get things, you know, taken care of. You have to,
right.
you know, call the pharmacy for certain. It's just a lot of stuff you have to do.
Can you explain charting a little bit?
Yeah, so any time that a nurse walks into a room and has an interaction with a patient, he or she has to chart that interaction and everything that she or he has done with that patient. That way there is a paper trail mm-hmm. to see what has been done And it kind of helps to pass off the care to somebody else coming on the new shift.
Sure, or just to identify different issues that might come up. You can look through and say, okay, how were they doing yesterday? How are they doing at this time? What happened? So I can see the reasons for it, but from what I've heard, it's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work, and it's a lot of times the insurance companies require it. I mean, that's the main reason why we do it, you know, just for clarification of what we've done so the insurance companies can go back and billing to bill the patients or the insurance company.
Right. So. Now, this is a big issue throughout this article, actually, is the whole side of insurance. And we get to one word that's an important one, Rose, Medicare.
Yes.
What is that?
Medicare is a type of insurance that is used in the United States for billing patients.
Okay.
And it's government run.
Right. So it's a kind of health insurance. Now, different countries do this in different ways. Different systems exist all over the world. But in the U.S., there's a lot of private insurance companies, right, that work with the people who are in the hospitals. So they need to make different decisions about how they're going to pay for care.
That's right. We don't have the Americans don't have a nationalized healthcare system like a lot of Asian countries.
Or Canada.
Canada, Naomi's home country. So most people have insurance through their work. And those employers then are employing their are providing healthcare to their employees through private insurers. And then the Medicare folks are primarily older. You have to be 65.
About 65, yeah.
To qualify for Medicare.
Okay, so then we see there in line 15 that both Medicare and private insurers are moving away from the fee-for-service model. Now, what is the fee-for-service model?
The fee-for-service model is when you pay for each individual service that you get. Instead of having it all paid for in kind of an umbrella payment.
Okay, good. Sense. Yeah, an umbrella payment would be something that covers many smaller things.
Yes.
So in this case, if it's a fee for a service model, we explain that they're paying for what?
They're paying for each individual medication that the doctor gives them. If the doctor orders a new medication, then they need to pay for that individual tablet. Or if he orders a new procedure that needs to be done, like if they need to go get an x-ray, then they need to pay for that x-ray.
Okay, now that could add up pretty quickly.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So here we see that a lot of them are moving from that to flat fee payments.
Right. So it's one payment. Sarah called it an umbrella payment. One payment to cover the entire episode of care, it says. Usually when we think of the word episodes, we might think of TV shows. But in this case, it's your entire hospital experience from the medicine to the x-rays to the actual surgery or procedure that took place, all of that in one flat fee.
Okay. So they give some examples of what an episode might be.
I think this is actually really beneficial because it makes people work more efficiently, and so they're not spending a bunch of money. They're keeping their costs a lot lower when they do the umbrella fee.
Right, that flat fee
the flat
idea.
Fee.
So if you're paying one cost, basically, for a knee replacement from start to finish, including all the medicine and the x-rays and the room and so on, we can see how that might make more sense than doing each little thing like a itemized bill in a restaurant, you know, where you're like, and you had an extra shot of cappuccino, and then you had this dessert, and, you know, it's that same idea instead of, or it would turn into almost like a buffet instead.
Right. It sounds like less work for the nurses too, right? I'm sure you still have to keep track of all that, but it's not as important to get all that detail to the insurance companies?
Well, it is actually really important still because in order to not have the hospital pay out of pocket, you have to keep your costs below what the flat fee is. Otherwise, the hospital has to cover all that extra. So you want to be very careful and not use too many supplies or medications.
I think that's a really interesting point. And we sort of get to it there after the second dash. It says, so rooms are less of a profit center. And I think that idea of describing a hospital room as a profit center, do you think that's fair?
No, and a lot of people have issues with that thought of, you know, I'm just going to the hospital and they're taking all my money and they think that
The doctors are giving them too many medications or ordering unnecessary labs or procedures.
Right.
And so with this just flat rate fee, I think it will make a lot of people just feel more comfortable that the hospital is not trying to suck their money from them, you know,
right.
take their money from them. But
they're not trying to cheat them in some way.
Yeah, so definitely.
Okay, so there could be some very good side effects to this idea. Medicare has also begun paying bonuses to hospitals that do what?
That provide effective, high-quality treatment. So that's interesting. Not only do they get reimbursed for all the procedural activities and salaries and supplies, they also get a bonus, which is money in addition to what they normally get.
Okay. But on the flip side of that, we see that word while. So at the same time as one side, you could get a bonus. On the other side?
You could get penalized for it. This means that you can basically get charged, or the insurance company will not reimburse you for certain things if,
the care
if you don't meet the care
at a certain
yeah.
level. Right.
Right. So that idea of penalizing people or hospitals if they don't meet a certain standard, or the other thing it said here is if they have high rates of avoidable readmissions. What would be an avoidable readmission? What does that mean?
An avoidable readmission would be making sure that you explain to the patient the medication that they're taking home, so that if they go home and stop taking their medication, they're just going to come back into the hospital with the same problem.
Right.
So just making sure that the healthcare providers are avoiding those things that are going to cause the patient to come back into the hospital.
Okay, excellent. And of course, private insurers are beginning to follow suit.
That's right. They're doing the same thing as Medicare. So this initial stab at reducing, you know, some of the readmissions and making sure the care is done well is being done by Medicare, the U.S. government. And now the private insurers are doing the same or following suit.
They're sort of copying that model.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Let's find out more about why this is worth doing in our final reading for today.
The changes dovetail with years of research showing that the color, shape, layout, and accoutrements of a hospital room have a direct effect on health. In 2005, a team at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center studied the effect of sunlight on the recovery of patients who just had spinal surgery. Comparing patients on brighter and darker sides of a room, the experiment concluded that sunlight significantly reduced both pain and the need for analgesic medication. Dozens of other studies have reached similar conclusions on patient exposure to nature and art, classical music, colored walls, and the presence of family members. In other words, pleasant rooms aren't only more comfortable, they're therapeutic.
So we're learning that insurance companies and Medicare are making some changes that really help them on the financial side of things, but it's not all about the money, right?
That's right. It says the changes dovetail or fit along nicely with years of research that are showing some very interesting things.
Very interesting things. Can you explain some of them, Sarah?
Yeah, the research shows that sunlight and the environment of the room, so how the colors of the room and the lighting of the room really helps with healing in a patient.
Okay, it says here color, shape, layout, so where everything is in the room, and accoutrements. What is an accoutrement?
That's a fun word, kind of meaning something interesting on the side. Sometimes, in this case, it's equipment you need for a way of life, something extra that makes something better.
Okay, so all of those things in the hospital room do have a direct effect on health. They're not just extra. They're not just nice. And we see some more specific research. In 2005, what happened, Rose?
In 2005, a team at the university studied the effect of sunlight and the recovery of the patient. And it actually showed that if a patient is exposed to more sunlight, that it will help with the healing process. And there was evidence of that from recovery of patients who had just had spinal surgery. And so I think it just shows that the more we lighten up the rooms and incorporate outside of the room, the more healing there is.
I was curious whether you had heard about this before, Sarah.
Yes, yeah, so we actually worked in a hospital. Rose and I worked in a hospital together that had huge windows, and every room had a view, and there was always sunlight coming in when it was light out. So, and the patients were very happy and satisfied.
Okay, but it's not just a matter of mood, we see. It actually does affect the cost side of things too, actually, doesn't it, Josh?
That's right. It says other studies have reached these conclusions as well, meaning that the rooms not only are more comfortable, they're therapeutic.
Mm-hmm. It says the experiment concluded, there in line 5, that sunlight significantly reduced both pain and the need for analgesic medicine. Now, Rose, can you explain what that is?
Yeah, so analgesic medication is a medication that is given when someone is in pain. And so I think with, you know, getting sunlight into the room and opening up the windows will help distract the patient. And so then they're not focusing on their pain, but they're looking out the window, they're enjoying the outside world.
Yeah, so it's interesting how kind of your mental well-being can also affect your physical well-being. Okay, so there's some evidence here of why that's such a good idea, more sunlight. But we see, again, Josh, those dozens of other studies say there's more to it than just sunlight.
That's right. It's also about the exposure to nature and art, and even classical music can impact the patient experience. Have you played any interesting music in your hospital room, Sarah?
They actually don't do it in the hospital rooms, but they do in the hallways and in the stairwells. And it just relaxes people and brings your blood pressure down.
Wow.
So that helps.
Okay. And presence of family members. Now, I wonder, I'm sure in some cases this could actually add to the stress.
Right. You have to screen which family members do you want to come into the room.
Right. But having a pleasant environment is important, not just for comfort, but because they're therapeutic. And Rose, can you explain that word, therapeutic?
Therapeutic is just more of a relaxing environment and helping them get through something.
Okay.
And so with all these other distractions and, you know, lighting up the room and the colored walls, it will help the patient.
I would much rather stay in a hospital like this than
yes.
most of the ones that I've visited. But still, I guess ideally you want to stay out of the hospital in the first place. There's a lot more to learn, though, about how these hospital rooms are adapting to the future and trying new things. So please do come back tomorrow as we continue this article. Thanks for being with us today, and we'll see you then.